Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Broths. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. So happy to be here with you today, you little sugar plum.
Oh, not happier than I am to be here with you, sugar plum.
Oh, you! Everybody, thank you so much for being with us. It's Real Housewives of Atlanta Day. And tonight is Take a Seat. That's our live show on Spotify Live, which is an app by Spotify. You guessed it, by Spotify. And it used to be called Green Room, in case you wondered why we changed the name of that. And Spotify Live, basically, it's like a call-in radio show. It's live. We talk about all the Bravo goss in the Bravo universe. You guys talk to us. You come up and go off for a minute about whatever you want. And you talk to each other. There's a huge chat room there. We love doing it. It's every Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And thanks for everybody who's been showing up there. If you can't be there live and just want to listen to it, just search Take a Seat on Spotify. All right? And that's that for that. Today, Real Housewives of Atlanta Day. Big day.
Huge day. Huge day. First cast trip of the season.
And it's to New Jersey. So, you know, you can't win them all. Even the biggest housewives on Bravo sometimes just have to go to Jersey. That's just the way it is. The big meatball.
Fort Lee. Well, they were very close to Tenafly. That's for sure. They could have gone to Tenafly and checked in with Serena. Okay. Put all the rumors.
Yes.
So it opens up with Marlo and a builder named Patrick, and they are looking at a home under construction, and the show is very clear to say, with a chyron underneath it, not Marlo's home. So if you already are being like, wow, Marlo's building a beautiful home, this is not it.
Oh, weren't they talking about the house next door that's not Marlo's home?
Right, but that's like the first thing you see, and then it turns, then it pans over, or they cut to just like a pile of dirt, and it says Marlo's lot.
Well, this show loves to lot shame people. You know, it's a tried and true tradition of people buying a lot and then getting shamed for it for 2 years while their house is being built. They're like, look at that pile of dirt. Yeah, that they bought, that they're building a home on top of. People, come on.
Atlanta also has a lot of home building. You know, like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. There's a lot of home building. I mean, I'm trying to think of the other franchises. Obviously, most famously, you have Heather Dubrow's house. That's a big building thing. But I'm trying to think of the other Real Housewives where there's so much talk about building houses as on Atlanta. I guess you could make an argument for, I feel like Toya on Marriage Medicine, she's always I feel like she's always got a house that's going under construction. And that was Dr. Jackie also. Dr. Jackie was building a house. But yeah, Real Housewives of Atlanta, there's always some house that's under construction.
Yes, this is owned by like Ashley Holmes.
Observation.
Well, you never know. You know, all the Bravo conspiracies. It could be just like owned by, you know, Dewey or whatever home neighborhood builder there is. Who knows? But anyway, Atlanta's always expanding. They're always building outward. So we're in Decatur for this home. And Patrick is like, okay, so I redid the plan so we can get it revised to get the numbers where we wanted it. Because, you know, Marlo's ass had some $9 trillion house planned. You know she did. Yeah. You know Marlo just walks through like, gold! I want that gold!
I need a space for La Archive. I actually need to build the archive for La Archive.
Yes.
Need archive space. So Kenny and Sheree pull up to see the lot. And Marlo tells Patrick, she's like, oh, well, here come some little builders, baby builders. One took about 20 years to do her house. The other one's still building. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Also, this, you know, there's so much discussion. Marlo even brings it up later. Like, how dare you ask? You're always asking me where I make my money. You know, because it's a fascinating conversation. That's why. But also, you can tell that she's just handed a lot of money because when it's time to write on the plans and make notes, she just spreads them out right on the hood of her Rolls Royce. And nobody who worked their ass off for a Rolls Royce would just be spreading plans out and taking a big pen to them.
No, I don't think so either. I was a little surprised. It was like kind of a minor flex, but I'm like, you're just flexing on Patrick right now, which is sort of feels rude. You know, she's like, let's look at these on my Rolls Royce hood. I'm like, I thought it was a strange thing. I feel like I wouldn't put anything on the hood of my Rolls Royce if I
hell no. And if you're really, if you're really loaded, you bend the hot guy over and ride on him. I mean, you've got a muscle, gorgeous, muscly guy there. You know, right on.
If you're really loaded, yeah. If you're really loaded, you bring a fold-out table. How about that? Just have a folding table in your Rolls Royce. How about that? How about that, rich people?
One took 20 years
by having to have a folding table.
The folding table with a guy with a sign that says, "One took 20 years to build a house, and the other one is still building." Fight me.
Fight me.
Whatever that meme is.
So. Yeah, oh, that guy. Yeah, I know what you're saying. So Marlo, she tells us, like, why wouldn't I invite these ladies over to give me advice? Because, baby, one thing about it, they have been through it with their homes. So this is like Marlo's thing this season, is that she's just trying to get advice from people. Is that like her arc, that she's just learning life from the other ladies?
Yeah, I guess so. She's just trying to learn. So that's also a good way to pre-diss. It's like, you know that someone's about to just hate on you when they're like, you know what? I just wanted your advice. And then they rip you down, you know? So yeah. This is her I'm pretending to be nice part of the season, I think. So she's talking about how Patrick had to remove 1,500 square feet from the plans. And he's like, Kenya, who's the pro builder in this episode, every time Kenya's on screen, she's like, I built a home. So she looks at the plans and she goes, oh, I see. That's the front door because it swings open.
She's really got her finger on the pulse of architecture.
Yeah. And half the house is the closet. It's like an 800 square foot closet. Kenya's like, the closet is bigger than the bedroom. Come on now. You have to walk through the closet to get to this teeny tiny little bedroom over here.
You know, the bedroom is 500 square feet, which is not nothing. That's also pretty big. But it is funny. The closet is 800 square feet. So Kenya, I feel like every scene this season, they're going to just sort of try to suggest some sort of flirtation with Kenya with any guy, because she's like, ooh, I like Patrick. He really knows his stuff, because he's just sort of responding with various facts about the neighborhood, about this will be $3.5 million and that'll be blah, blah. She's like, wow, you really know your stuff. And Sheree's like, so like, why are you all out here? Like, this is Buckhead. I mean, this is Decatur. You're a Buckhead girl.
And she's like, well, I'm not making Buckhead. You know, I don't have Buckhead money. You know, I don't have that budget. You all keep saying I have money, but, you know, I'm not the one who says I have money. Kenya's like, you just walked into your event, got on a microphone, and said, I'm known for money and fashion. She's like, well, it's because you know what? You're full of shit. You always do that. You know, and I don't like when you do that. She's like, I'm just telling you what you say, Marlo.
She goes, you know what, I'm gonna calm down, because my problem is that it's always like, where does Marlo get her money? Where does Marlo get her money? That's too personal. All of a sudden, Marlo is concerned with like things being too personal. Marlo, who has raked people across the coals for having a welcome mat that's too small for their door. Now all of a sudden, like, she asks for discretion.
Right. So Kenya's like, I love the house. It's not going to be like that one, is it? Because, you know, moderns are more expensive. You know that, Patrick? Wow, good for you. Patrick's really good.
Yeah. And so then Sheree starts asking, I think he just goes away at this point or whatever. And she starts asking if Kenya's going to see Mark in New York. And Kenya's basically like, no, the au pair is going to drop off Brooklyn or whatever. And so then Kenya asks if Sheree's going to see Tyrone. And we learn that Tyrone is really excited to come and meet everyone. So at this point, I'm just even more convinced he's absolutely not going to show up.
Yeah.
It's like, because he's clearly going to be selling that lie so hard. And then just he knows he's not going to be able to come. He has no intention, but he's going to sell it really hard that he wants to.
Well, it's hard. I mean, look, long distance dating is hard enough without like prison dating, you know, because like long distance dating, you can just be whoever you want and you can be all happy all the time. I don't want to see you. It's like, hey, I'm coming to Austin. No, hell no, I don't want to fucking see you. I date you on the phone on purpose. Get go yeah. away, you know?
Yeah, because that in-person chemistry is, like, very different than on the phone or FaceTime, right? And so, like, in person, you have to sort of, like, sit in those awkward moments. And, like, I bet everyone's like, no, I don't want... This is online only. This is a virtual relationship.
Yeah. So Sheree tells us that he can't travel more than 100 miles, but it would mean so much for her if he got to meet everybody. So Kenya's like, so what about Drew coming to New York? How's that going to be? And she's like, well, you know, I'm going to be fine with Drew. I think she just needs the drama. I don't know if she just needs the extra in her life or what. And Kenya's like, her marriage is already drama. I can't wait to tell everybody how to build their home and build their marriage. It's going to be a great episode for me.
And then she's like, I'm disappointed that she attacked you, Sheree. Like, this is Kenya now doing the I'm pretending I made up with Drew. And now I'm going to throw her under the bus, but I'm not going to do it in a shady way. I'm going to do it from a way of like having greater manners or whatever.
Right.
So now we go over to Candy's house and Todd and Candy are going on a walk. And Candy's saying how like there's just like she's like, so what's going on? And he goes, so much. Not enough time, not enough support. I'm like, not enough support? You're wearing a t-shirt that says no. Who wants to support someone who wears a t-shirt that says no?
I know. You know your marriage is going through troubles when your husband is just wearing a shirt that says no. No. That's it. So Candy's yeah, like, yeah.
Put out to the world.
But Candy's like, I feel you on that, you know, not enough support thing. And then she laughs her, you know, her really high-pitched laugh. And he's like... she can get so high, my God. She's like the Mariah Carey of laughers.
Yeah, she really is.
Windows shatter. Marlo's window, closet window shatters in Decatur. So Tom's like, Con, why do you have to laugh like that after everything? She's laughing because she gives you a very lavish lifestyle, sir, and you're complaining about having no support when you're off to fucking boys' trips to Miami while you have kids. That's why.
It's like it's because you want support. With spending the money that she's supporting you with. You know?
You're literally taking a speed walk right now with Wells Fargo, complaining about not having support. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. So Candy starts talking about the play, and she's trying to get people to go to the play, and ticket sales are picking up and everything. She just wants butts and seats. So she wants Todd to invite Ralph to come, because of course... That's the key to play success is having Ralph Pittman show up and influence all the people. Guys, I saw this amazing play. You all have to see it. Everyone, go see it. He's a regular Rex Reed.
Yeah, so it's going to be a guy's trip, too. It's going to be a couple's trip. So he's like, yeah, and then when we're in New York, we can swing by the Jersey Crib. And she's like, oh, God, your old place from your old relationship? Why would I want to do that? And he's like, that's whack, Candy. It's not my place. It's our place. And it's our kids' place.
Yeah, he's like, he wants something to pass down to the kids. And Todd's like, you know, you always just want it your way. What about a compromise? And she's like, well, I just want to be able to visit New York, stay in a hotel room, mess it up, and not have to worry about it, which I think is a very fair case. I think that's kind of like case closed, in fact. Like, I mean, what else is there to say? And so then he goes, you're always saying I. It's always I. I'm like, Todd, you're the one who said you wanted something of your own to have. Like, you're the one who's like, you're always doing cool stuff, so I wanted something where people can see my accomplishments. That's a very I thing to say.
Yeah. There's no I in Team Candy. There is a divorce. Shut up. So
there's also no I in New Jersey.
Yeah. Also, I've just, and this is not even offense to people from New Jersey, but you've never heard anybody being like, oh, I'm going to New York. We're going on a New York trip. We are so excited. We're staying in Hoboken. Mm-hmm. We're going to be staying in Hobo. Nobody does that.
Yeah. Or at least like no one of Candy's level, right? Like there are people who probably do that because it's like maybe it's cheaper to stay there. And that's like a very real thing. But if you're a celebrity like Candy Burrs, if you wrote No Scrubs, if you've written for Destiny's Child, if you have Grammys, you don't need to like go to New Jersey, okay? Because, you know, like, the view from New Jersey is wonderful, but the view's even better, like, at the top of a 80-story
in a restaurant that's not rails. You know what I mean? So Candy's like, yeah, he wants me to be excited, but this is like he's rewrapping a gift that he got for an ex and trying to make it for me, you know? And so he's like, but Candy, it's not just about you. Are you getting it yet? Okay, then why don't you get the apartment done and then invite Candy on a trip to Jersey? This is Candy's trip to New York for her Broadway show.
I know.
So then Ralph,
just honestly, just flip it and sell it. Just flip it and sell for crying out loud, sir. Please.
So Ralph and Drew, Drew's got all her assistants running around the house and telling the assistant to go get Ralph because they have counseling. And of course, they're all numbered, you know. And then Anthony comes in.
By the way, we're on assistant number four now. We have assistant number Danielle, assistant number four. So they need four assistants.
So Anthony walks in and just sees Drew and then like straightens up and runs back out. And it just says Anthony on probation.
So then the producer says, so how does probation work in the Sedora Pittman household? And Drew goes, oh, we run our business like a corporation. My husband works in technology for Fortune 500 companies. So yeah, there are steps to firing someone, like put them on probation, and then they need to check their behavior or they will be terminated. Drew, this is not IBM, okay? These are assistants. Assistants in your suburban household where you guys do, as far as we can tell, nothing. You don't need to have an HR process. You just fire him.
Yeah. I can tell you this much, though. He's not going to be showing up to lunch with Sheree. So Drew's like, oh, I'm not going to, because it's ding dong, Dr. Ken's there. And she's like, I'm not crying today. Hi, Dr. Ken. And Ralph comes down to surgery. Why am I saying that? Ralph comes down to therapy in a Reza sweater, his Reza Star sweater.
Yes. Yes, that's very true. So they're still like sleeping apart because so Drew tells us, you know, after the bad date night, Ralph packed a little bag and started sleeping in Makai's room. I'm like, okay, I get it. You guys are in a fight. You're sleeping separately. But why did he have to pack a bag? he can still access his dresser, can't he? Like,
is Makai's room in Tampa? Because that's the only reason I'm believing he packed a bag.
That's excessive. That's just symbolic at that point.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I really know things are bad when he's sleeping in a different place. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. There are other signs, but I'll go with you on that.
The gaslighting is usually a good one, but him sleeping in a car that's shaped like, you know, Mater from Cars. Yeah.
So Ralph comes in on the offense. He's like, Drew's going to use this session to try and fix me. And she's like, oh, God. Here we go.
So this is their first time seeing Dr. Ken in person. And I feel like this is Dr. Ken's big moment to try to like really like bring out the big therapy guns. And I'm just going to say this. I don't think he did it. I did not feel confident in Dr. Ken in this scene. So he comes in and he's like, so how's it coming along and everything? And so Drew says, well, he did this dinner for me and I felt like a queen. And so he goes, oh, and you did that for what reason? And he goes, yeah, to make her feel like a queen. Yeah, make her feel like a queen. And she's like, okay, all right. And that was thoughtful, right? And Drew's like, was extremely thoughtful. And I'm giving you my face that says big butt coming up right now.
And he goes, did she receive it, Ralph? Did she receive it? And he goes, not really. And then we see the clip of her saying, this is nice. I just don't want to keep going through this vicious cycle of ups and downs, honey. And him having a fit. So he's like, right. You know, I feel like Drew doesn't respect me. A woman would appreciate that. But not this woman here. Because this woman is insatiable. And I tried to give her steak. And I tried to give her lobster.
And she's like, it's not about the steak or the lobster. And he goes, she deserved a Lunchable. Which, by the way, I would have totally taken a Lunchable.
Like, Dr. Ken's sorry. Face is like, a Lunchable. Mm. How could
he
you?
Also, by the way, Ralph also neglected to mention that the steak and the lobster were served on top of a tailor shop. Okay.
So
try to give it the world.
When he says Lunchable, we get a doctor tss It's like this horrified doctor face. And
it's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Drew's covering her face, and the doctor is like, can I say something, Drew? Now, one of the things I really want to work on is I really want to live in the moment. And when you said that to him, I guess it just really deflated the night. And Ralph goes, 100%. Okay, you know what? This isn't going to work. I need this therapist fired.
I know.
I mean, deflate the night. This is like getting somebody dinner after you fucking cheated on them. You know, it's like getting somebody all those roses after you fucked half the town is basically what this dinner was. This is not just like some generous thing he did. This is some bullshit he did on camera to make himself look like a great husband and still avoid talking about any of the nasty shit that he's done.
So I had this thought last night when I was watching this ridiculousness. I was, you know, I think what Dr. Ken, I think, is essentially saying is, look, you guys were trying to have a romantic moment. So, like, stay in the moment and just enjoy each other's company. Don't harp on all the negativity that's happening because, you know, it's just going to go downhill. And Drew, you know, her response is like, how can I, you know, all this stuff is unresolved. Like, how can I be in the moment and be in bliss if all this stuff is not resolved? And the thing that annoyed me in that moment was that, you know, In some ways, Drew is correct. Like, how do we pretend like we're just like, oh, everything's nice. We're in love again when there's all these underlying issues. And the reason why I get annoyed at Drew is you can either say, you know what? I'm putting everything to the side. I'm going to have a nice night with my man. And we're just going to just have a night of romance amidst our stormy relationship. Or you say, you know what? We can't do this yet because we got to fix our problems first. But Drew wants it both ways because she's all about getting the glam session. She's all about getting dressed up and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden she's like, how do we do this when we have these issues? It's like, well, you didn't have that issue. You weren't concerned when you were getting a free glam situation, right? So it's either like you just go in for the escapism or you don't, but you don't go halfway. And Ralph is still the worst here, by the way. I'm not saying that Ralph is off the hook. I'm just saying that, like, I think Drew wants it both ways.
I mean, look, I'm just a person who comes from the old school repression works. I mean, if you've got horrible things happening in your mind, repress it and eat the damn dinner. You fight on the way home. Eat the damn dinner. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have to fuck this guy that you hate later. So eat it. Wait till dessert's over. Right when the tiramisu is about to be done, say, so remember that assistant with the big butt? The end. Then you fight. You don't have to fuck him. You just got a great dinner.
Get your meal first. But at the very least, always bring up the stuff at the end of the meal. At the end. Not when the crab rangoon is being served in the little basket.
Yes. Okay? Repression. Repression works. Okay. And if it didn't, there wouldn't be so many doctors like Ken around there.
Yeah,
we need this to keep the economy going. We need this to keep the psychotherapy economy going, everybody. Just remember, eat your meal. So so he's like, okay, well, what I'm hearing Drew say is that you need him to take some ownership for some things. Am I right? Yeah, Dr. Ken. So Ralph's like, what do you want me to take ownership of? What, you see this? This is a one-sided conversation right here, you know? And then you said that Dr. Ken called me a maniac.
She goes, well, I knew we were going to get to that part. So first of all, I didn't bring your name up. He brought your name up first. So Dr. Ken gets real mad. He's like, it doesn't matter what Dr. Ken says. What matters is what you two say, and this is your marriage. So next time you're in a conversation, it might be a good idea to keep Dr. Ken out. I was like, oh, Dr. Ken.
Yes.
Dr. Ken did not like that.
I would like to put in a request for an additional Dr. Ken because he deserved one for that.
He deserved one.
Also, Dr. Ken, nice way of getting out of that one. Okay, I'm going to need you to explain why you called him a maniac. You don't get to just get out of it because you have doctor before your name, Ken. So
he's
then,
believe it or not, I actually think he's probably used to it. Like, I feel like it's probably not an uncommon thing that people in couples counseling just weaponize what the therapist says all the time. And then they have to like come back and do it. And they're like, no, stop. I'm not the bad guy here, although I am Dr. Ken. So I may have given some very shitty advice, but you know, whatever.
And then we hear the buzzing of silence. The sound of silence. It's just like, bzzz. So he goes, so do you guys know why you attack one another? regardless of what the other person does or says, it's your choice how to react to it. This is a crossover here. This is not a Lexus SUV, and it's not a Lexus sedan. Okay. And it could be hybrid.
This is the RAV4. It's actually not even a Lexus. I'm sorry I even brought Lexus. This is a RAV4. This is a Toyota RAV4.
Now, I want to give you a therapeutic agreement. Cynthia Bailey has written it. It starts out with, are you my friend, yes or no? Okay, someone fill in a box. Someone fill in a box.
Here's what I would like to do, okay? I could start to dive into your issues by using actual therapy and respected practices, but I've been watching a lot of Starting Over, and God, I want to try some of that stuff. So we're going to do something that's really not therapy-based, but more Yanla-based, okay? So in the next 30 days, we're not going to have a combative conversation, no yelling, no attacking. And if the person blows it, Drew, if you blow it, for 24 hours, you will be his servant. He'll do whatever he wants. Sex 5 times a day, sure. And if he blows it, then you can have him do whatever you want. And that should fix nothing, but will be sort of interesting to watch.
Yeah, and he'll do whatever you want. Probably it'll be taking care of the kids. He'll want sex, and the woman will want those kids taken care of. Am I
You're
right?
You're so right.
Oh, my God. You're fucking fired, dude. Get out of
what
my house.
What sort of therapy was that? What sort of therapy
this
was that?
The like, worst.
Okay, you have to have like a... You basically have to be the premise of like some sort of 90s comedy. Like, we're not allowed to fight because the first person who fights
loses
all their rights in the marriage. No, yeah. Like, how and about Drew's, you get into deeper things?
Well, sorry, guys. We have a little delay, so we're not purposely going over each other. Drew's like, well, I really want my marriage to work. I have my Palo Santo. Well, good, because you're about to start some shit on fire. So, yeah, go ahead and start that little wood on fire. Let's see what happens. None of this is going to work.
No, this is horrific. On a network where we've seen so many bad therapists and so many bad, you know, things to do, like so many bad suggestions, this is really the worst. And the only way I can really wrap my head around it is that Dr. Ken basically has tried everything else so far. So now he's just down to like having them make some strange bet with each other.
Yeah, make it some game. It's like you're playing with children, so you have to make it a game. Like, why haven't we talked about what, you know, Ralph is very good at getting out of this shit, because now he's made this whole thing, even with the therapist who should know better, he's made the whole thing about how Drew reacted to his glamorous dinner instead of having it be about, well, why did you hire an Instagram thought to be your... to right. be your what? Book editor / assistant. Like, how does that make sense? And why did you think you would get away with that? Why aren't we talking about that? Why is it how somebody reacted to this amazing dinner that you put together?
But yeah, and there's just like no probing. It's not like there's no question of like, well, why did you feel disrespected? What about it? What does the disrespect serve? What does respect serve? Why do you need the respect? And, you know, what does respect look for you? Like, there was no, like, let's dig deeper. It was just like, okay, just make a deal. Make a deal that whoever like, argues first.
I found a friendship contract, you know, let's go. So now it's the packing time. Brooklyn's packing with Kenya. And then we see Safari and Patrick from Candy and the Gang.
A sad crossover where they didn't even get a Chiron. I was like, are they? Is this show going to acknowledge that these two people came from another show? Like, when is this going to happen?
Yes, and Safari and Patrick, if you guys watch that show, if you haven't, it's really funny. Go watch it. But Safari and Patrick are really into sex toys. Like, that's their thing. They're, like, super into getting kinky and stuff. So they come dressed in their leather toy, you know, their leather outfits. Like, he's in a harness, and she's got, like, the black tape on her nipples and stuff. And they're just going to all these family homes in a family neighborhood.
Totally normal. Yeah. And like, but this is Candy's nephew, by the way. Like, she's like, hey, can you like dress up in S&M wear and deliver this kinky invitation? Like, I just can't even imagine asking my nephew to do something like that. So, they go and they deliver, and it's like, please accept this sexy gift as a token of my appreciation. It's mandatory that you bring this on the trip. And Kenya,
here's what I think about our friendship. It's an ass plug. Please put this up your ass.
I know.
And give your partner the remote control so they can make your ass bulge or what are you, they can make your cornhole tingle all throughout the day. I mean, what the hell?
And Kenya really, she really speaks what was on my mind. She goes, how about a playbill? Like, one of the truest things Kenya has ever asked.
I mean, Candy, there is such a thing as having too many businesses. When you're just trying to get every business plugged at one, plugged, that's, you know, no pun intended. Yeah. But you're trying to really go for every business at one time. Like, you know, you don't need to mix all the business. You guys have 24 episodes, okay? You can have dildo day another day.
And I think at this point, it's also kind of getting old, probably, right? Like the, okay, Candy has sex toys. Okay, like we get it. You know, it's sort of the same way that Never Have I Ever continues to get old on Bravo. It's sort of this, it's like, okay. Like you can just sort of see none of them are into it. They're like, this is... We don't want to do this. We just want to go to New York.
Yeah. Because then when you start plugging your business, you have to talk about that stuff all the time. Like later they have the scene where they're like, we wanted to play a game where whoever gets the best sex story gets the best room. So let's talk about sex story to plug our, you know, sex toy. It's like, oh my God, you know, what if someone just tries coming out with cleaning products? Like, do we have to sit here and talk about it at dinner? Like, okay, whoever gives us the best way to clean their toilets, life hack, gets the best room. It's like, okay, enough, we get it.
That would actually be more appealing. I think
it just actually turned me on. It actually turned me on. That was my version of sex toy talk.
That was a great note. Like, let's have them, like, cleaning tips. I think actually everyone would want that. You can just sort of see they're all exhausted by this. Like, okay, Candy. It's like, it's not scintillating anymore. Like, we've gone down this path so many times, not just on Bravo, but also just with Candy. And just no one's in the mood. It's over. You know, I think people would like to share cleaning tips instead.
Yeah. So then we go to Marlo's house, who's in like a glitter Phyllis Diller hat. Not really sure what she's up to. And Drew calls her and they're talking about the Candy's bedroom vibrator. And Marlo's like, I don't want that. I don't need that.
Yeah. None of, like, and this is not, I would not say this is a cast of prudes by any means. They're just like, we're like, we don't want to do this anymore. We're done. Like, it's over. We've had this conversation 10 times about dildos.
And yeah, it's like, I'm 50. What the fuck do you want? Yeah. Like, I'm fucking 50. You know, like, how many times do we have to talk about this? Has anybody used the Swiffer that can reach up to the ceiling fan? That's what I want to talk about.
Exactly. That's how to get stains out of things, you know?
So Sheree calls Kenya and she tells her, Kenya tells Sheree about it. She's like, I just got sex toys from half naked people in my front door. And Sheree goes, does it have anything to do with the play?
Kenya's like, I hope not. So, and Marlo's like, you know what, Candy should change her name to Freak Candy Burris. I mean, that's just her thing. My thing is shopping, her thing is sex. I guess I have to work on my reads a little bit. Yeah, it's true.
So then it's really early morning. It's still dark outside. And they've got a Sprinter van, Todd and Candy, to go pick up everybody from the airport and make sure that everybody gets to the damn airport on time, which is actually pretty smart. So everybody starts gathering. You know, they have cars take them to the bus or whatever. And Kenya's like, where is the memo about this being a couple's trip? Because that's something that I should have been told, being a single person.
And then we see a flashback of Candy saying, if you got a date, bring him. So,
and Candy going, oh yeah, I'll bring a date.
So Sheree gets on and she meets Ross for the first time. And, you know, and Sheree is saying, I'm feeling a little awkward traveling with Drew and Ralph, but if they do misbehave, I have receipts. That bitch is whack.
Then, of course, Marlo arrives with somebody holding an umbrella over her head and walking her to the bus. And Candy brings up the sex toys. She's like, oh, did you like your surprise? Oh, you know me. I just like to have fun. I just have to do something silly.
Yeah. And Kenya tells us, she goes, I have a lot going on and I'm trying to coordinate The nanny traveling with Brooklyn. Who has time to put on vibrating panties and roam the streets of New York?
So then Todd starts talking about Jersey. He's like, wouldn't it be fun to go see your place in Jersey, babe? Everybody should come see your place in Jersey. And Candy's like, oh my God, I'm trying to have a dildo trip. Can we just have the dildo trip?
I know. It's like battling trip plans. So Candy is saying that she's just like hoping that the girls can give her some inspiration and like help her get into a better headspace about this place, because she obviously is so over it, you know? So they fly off to New York and they get to the hotel and there's all this food in the suite. So everyone's eating it. And Sanya's trying to advance her story a little bit. Sanya, she's saying like, wow, I can't remember the last time Ross and I have taken a trip, especially with friends. And now he wants to add a child to the mix.
No.
But then that's like the end of that story. Like that's the end. Like that's all she gets for the episode, basically.
Yeah. And so Todd, this is where they have the competition for the penthouse level. And so they all have to tell a sex story. And whoever has the best sex story wins. Get your candy, you know. What's her brand called? Candy-coated nice dildos. So Sonia goes first, and she says that she did it on a plane on the way to Dubai, which is pretty risky. I mean, yeah, the laws in Dubai are a little bit different, okay? So that was risky. Yeah. She gets some applause. And then Drew's like, yeah, I don't think she's ever had sex out of her bed. I'm just going to be honest.
Shut up, Drew. So then Marlo has a story that no one believes, but she goes, I did it at the zoo and the giraffe was watching and it licked my face. I'm like, Marlo, why are you adding weird giraffe kink into your story? You're controlling the narrative. It's all fake. So why are you making the giraffe your third?
And then Sheree says that she did it at the Ritz-Carlton at the pool in broad daylight with everybody out there. What the hell? Hey, were you paying for a room there? I need to know. Or were you
at this point, everyone just... Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, everyone's just so over this stupid game, they're just all lying. They just are like, well, just come up with something off the top of my head. Like, yes. Yeah, I was in the Ritz-Carlton having sex on a chair.
I was in an eagle's nest at the Ritz-Carlton, and an actual bear came up and fucked my face. It's like, okay. Like, anybody have a real story here?
I was in the courtyard of the Raya Lucaria Academy learning sorcery. You're just talking about Elden Ring?
It's just Jordan. Well, first, I went to see Dolly Parton, and the Meredith Baxter Burney happened to be sitting next to me. And I thought, oh my God, is that a vibrator in my cornhole? But it turned out to be Meredith Baxter Burney's pinky finger. Let me tell you, when I came out of my nose, I'm not even exaggerating.
So then Ralph tries his hand and he goes, okay, we were in the DR, you know, Dominican Republic, and we got busy in the ocean and there were like whales there. Okay, there was like whales watching us. And Sheree's like, whale at the beach? Wouldn't a whale get stuck in the sand or something? That thing is big. Isn't it like 8,000 pounds? Bitch, what beach you at? I love that. She's really concerned about the whale logistics.
I know. Theirs is the most normal one, too. And
I know.
Sheree is like, what the hell? On a beach? So then
they're Kenya's all incorporating like, animals, by the way, in some weird way. They all incorporate animals.
Right. Kenya's, who I thought was going to be something along the lines of like, well, we were about to do it, but then the process server came and ruined everything. You know, I thought it was going to be something like that. But Kenya's like, well, he liked hunting. So we drove out to this area where you could hunt coyotes. Well, you could hunt them because they were messing up the environment or whatever. So he tagged a coyote, but then the coyote wasn't dead. So it was leaving this trail of blood. So we followed the trail of blood and it led to this little cavern. And so we had sex in a little cavern.
but then we heard a noise and the thing was still alive. I'm like, you watched an art house movie, didn't you? Is this like what is
she watched
this?
Like the what? Old Teen Wolf on the USA Network or some shit. I mean, Sheree's like, you were turned on by coyote blood. She's like, yeah.
What Tilda Swinton movie did you watch? What is? What are you stealing?
So funny. So Drew's like, oh my God, just give Kenya the room already. And Candy's like, that story was some bullshit. But hey, it took a lot of imagination. So She wins.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then now Sonia's in glam and everything. And she's talking about, I think she's talking with Ross. And they're talking about the tea party that happened. And she doesn't understand why Drew hasn't fired her assistant yet. And she goes, you know, like if you have an assistant who is messy with your friends and you keep him, that means you're equally messy. So it's making me look at Drew a little sideways. Like, what kind of friend are you really? Which continues to support the theory that Sonia's going to do the traditional new housewife thing, which is immediately sever ties with the woman who allegedly brought you onto the show. I love that. Yes. I'm like really excited for her to do this journey.
I do too, because she's like, I'm not going to fake being friends with the crazy one, okay? You guys, yeah. Nice try getting me on the show to be nice to the crazy one, but it's not going to work, okay?
She's like, I'm an Olympian. You're not going to stick me with Drew Sidora, okay? You're not going to stick me with the two scammers, all right? I'm not going to be tied down to that sinking ship. They were whales!
on a beach. So Sheree comes over to Marlo's room, who's getting glammed, and Sheree's like, well, you need to be ready. You're like, we're supposed to leave soon. And she goes, I'm not going to go over there to see Todd's furnishless condo.
Furnishless condo. so funny. So Marlo's starting to suspect, or she's wondering if Todd has been going off and doing things on the side. And she goes, you know, Candy's freaky as hell, and she might need therapy. She thinks I'm going to go walk in with some panties vibrating around the city. So they just start talking about, like,
who's the second highest freakiest? And she thinks it's Drew and Ralph. So then we go over to Drew and Ralph's room. Andrew's like, come massage my feet. If you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble and have to do something crazy that women would want all day. Like, take me shopping or take care of kids. Or maybe you'll have to do some dishes.
Or not doing math, because we're bad at it. So, just a girl. So, so she's trying to get that foot massage. And Drew starts saying how Sheree was trying to be nice to her and everything. And she goes, you know, at the tea party, she was being really ugly, you know. And she brought a lady there to try to say something about you, Ralph. So Drew believes that woman who was there was a plant by Sheree. And I don't think she was a plant by Sheree, because if she were a plant by Sheree, she would have been mic'd up for sure. And she wasn't.
I feel like Sheree wants to do that stuff herself, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Sheree really manipulates people to do that stuff for her. Like, she holds on until she's ready to bring it up, and mm-hmm. she does it in a big way. So I don't think it was a plant. So then getting ready clips, and then they load onto the Sprinter to go see Todd's condo. And Sheree is texting Tyrone, and he still doesn't know if he's going to be coming, which this guy's a flake. This guy's a flake there, I'm saying it, okay? Your boyfriend's a flake. Get rid of him.
And Todd is trying to do his own subtle gaslighting. It's not really gaslighting, but I guess it's sort of gaslighting. He's really trying to convince Candy that this condo is so convenient. They're in the tunnel, and he's like, "See, we're moving. Yeah, there's no traffic. We're almost there. Look, we're doing it. It's so fast. It's like next door. No big deal." Candy's like, "No." She's like, "Just to be clear, this is not something that's convenient. We're outside of the city, okay? And when we come to New York, it's not like we're even hanging out. It's like you've got all your friends that grew up in New York, okay? And he still acts like a college student when he goes out."
Yes, and Sheree's like, oh, the truth comes out. And Sheree tells us, well, the streets are talking. And then we see a clip of Portia.
Why don't you call and ask him about that? What that girl said, that his name is Marvin.
Because there were all those rumors that Todd was cheating on Candy and he was hitting up people using the name Marvin.
Right, right.
I forgot all about that storyline. Oh, it warmed my heart.
Yep. So Sheree, it's funny because in all the interviews, there's a lot of anti-Candy rumblings between Sheree and Kenya this season already, so we already can feel that it's gonna turn on her, right? Like, you just feel it. So Todd's like, you know what, I'm from here and I'm always on your turf, Candy, and I'm in Atlanta with you and your family and everything that makes you comfortable. So when you're here and you're in my comfort zone, I mean, you should just be like, you know what? I'm going to let him do his thing. Let him walk down the street with his son, you know?
Oh, like, God, let him walk down the street with it. No one is complaining about you walking down the street with your son, sir, okay? It's about going out with your friends all night and having some fuckpad in Jersey. Why aren't we acting like this is a crazy thing to be annoyed with?
For someone, thank you. For someone who is, like, very upset about being told what to do in his quote-unquote comfort zone, he has no problem telling Candy what she should be doing in her comfort zone. Like, every scene is him telling her, like, she needs to stay home more, she needs to do this more. Like, he's running her, he's, like, has taken, like, administrative, you know, positions in her companies. So, like, he really has no problem, you know, bossing people around in Candy's comfort zone. So, like, I say your logic fails, sir.
I don't know. Look, here's how I think of it. Your comfort zones are different. They're literally different locations. Her comfort zone has established businesses and a mansion, okay? Your comfort zone has a really shitty apartment in Jersey with a decent view, okay? I pick Candy's comfort zone. And if you're not comfortable there, then get the fuck out. Nobody made you come here. Go back to the apartment and call the old girlfriend back.
Yeah, and by the way, like, make some friends. Like, is it really, like, you can't say 8 years on or however many years that, like, you're not in your comfort zone when you're in Atlanta anymore. Like, you should have made friends by now. And you have made friends. So that's bullshit.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. But he knows what to say in front of the other ladies, right? Because they're like, oh, yeah. I get that. I get that, Todd. And Ross is like, well, you know, he just wants you to live in his world a little bit. And he's like, yeah, my G, hit it, G. You know, sometimes when you're the focal point, you're just not used to getting, you're just not used to not getting the attention. Okay, so now you're shaming her for being famous again.
Yeah.
This guy kills me.
Yeah, he drives me absolutely nuts. And then Kenny goes, yeah, you got to work on that. Because Kenya is now taking Todd's side on things because she's like, she has a beef with Candy over something. So she's now being very pro Todd. So she's, of course, going to take her side. And Kenny's like, oh, my God. So Kenya's like, I think Todd is very supportive. And Candy's a very strong woman, but she's also very spoiled. She's been famous for over half her life. And now that she's married, those lines may get crossed with her husband.
Like, Kenya, you're the one who is divorced because you refused to go live where your husband wanted you to, among many other reasons. But that was one of the main things in their marriage, wasn't it? That he's like, but my business is in Brooklyn. And she's like, my business is in Atlanta, and I'm not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, well, come on, you've got to listen to Todd more. Oh, okay. Okay, Kenya.
Kenya's also been famous for half her life, too, by the way. So Candy's basically like, you know, she's like, well, my whole thing is that all the things I'm doing right now, it helps us with all the stuff we want to do. So even when we wanted to promote our dungeon tour and when I had to go to Chicago to do The Shy and now producing this play, it helps everything. But now suddenly that's a problem, you know, because Candy is right. Everything she's doing is to help their family and their wealth. Todd, everything he's doing is so that way he can hang out with his boys.
Yeah.
On Candy's dime.
Yes, and I love that Marlo said that, because Todd goes, yeah, but it's, you know, if my ship blew out of the water tomorrow, Candy would be like, where do I fit in? You know, it's just the struggle of growth. And Marlo goes, yeah, Todd's ship might blow out of the water, but Candy, without Candy, but definitely not without Candy's money, which,
yeah,
yes,
that's exactly
thank
right.
You. Ding, ding, thank ding. You, somebody, for saying that out loud. Yeah.
So finally, the moment we've all been sort of anticipating, not really, we get to Todd's condo. And it's in beautiful Fort Lee. And they walk in and it's bad. The backsplash is terrible. It doesn't look huge, right? Like, big for a New York City apartment, but it's like there's a little spiral staircase in it. It's like very...
I was a little surprised actually how decent it was, because... Right when you walk in, like, they show the shot of them walking in the front door, and you just see a closet pole, you know, right next to the front door. And I was like, oh, no. But with a little remodel, I think it could be really cute. The view's killer, and they have a rooftop deck.
Well, look, anything with a good remodel is going to be great. It could definitely be good. I mean, there's space and everything. But this is not – I mean, the view is really amazing, but I would not say that this is like – like, oh my God, like the end all be all. I just kind of feel like for a normal person, maybe, but for a celebrity couple, I just don't like. I think they could do better.
You could do better. So then Kenya starts walking through and just going,
that redo the bathroom, 10 grand at most. Get rid of these stairs.
And he's like, but then how do we go up the stairs? She goes,
I don't know.
All these windows need to go. Like, you can't do that in an apartment, can you? I don't think you can do that. You can just say, replace all the windows and glass doors into a different style.
Take down all the walls, internal and external. Okay, I want floating platforms.
Yeah, that's how she is. She's like, change these doors to accordion doors. Like, okay, Kenya. So she starts doing a little construction hat bit. And Ralph is like, yeah, I know you've had some good times up here. Because they go look at the roof deck. And Candy's like, oh, God, don't start, you know. Don't try and hug me after that either.
Yeah, and they're all up there. By the way, Kenya suggested that Todd take out the spiral staircase and put it in an elevator, two-story elevator. So yeah, they're looking. The view is truly wonderful. But the best is they're all looking at the view, saying how wonderful it is. And Marla just goes right back downstairs. She just mutters. She goes, "They got a nice view, but this shit all needs to be redone." She's like, "This is crap."
So everyone's like, "This could work. This could work." Being polite, and Todd goes, "See, babe, everyone's on my side. I knew they would be." So then they go to dinner.
No.
It's not at Rails. So I don't know who's doing the research for this show, but you failed. Okay. You failed.
Yes. Huge fail. So Candy is like, well, guys, I pre-selected the menu and I've got stuff that I thought everyone would like. So poor Bravo, since they didn't have anyone ordering food, the best that they could do was like the busser saying, would you like sparkling or still? And they're like, still, sparkling still. I was like, oh, man, because Bravo loves showing them ordering food, and they could only do a water order this time.
So Sonia asked Candy and Drew why there are no wedding rings, like why they're not wearing their rings. And Drew says that hers didn't fit after the babies because she had gained weight, but then once she started losing weight, she had issues with Ralph, so she just stopped wearing her wedding ring.
That's great.
You guys seem like
healthy relationship.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. You're both killing it over there.
Yeah, and she goes, yeah, she's like, I should be wearing it. I'm sorry, but at marriage counseling, we made an agreement that for 30 days, we can argue or attack each other or disrespect each other. So I don't understand what that has to do with the ring. Like, you can still put the ring back on.
And everyone just looks at them like, wow. Have fun with that, buddy. And Candy says they're going to have to keep repeating this game for eternity because you know that they're going to fucking fail at this game every day. So then Marlo's like, well, what about your assistant, Ralph? What was up with that? And he goes, oh my God, I had to fire my assistant. Okay, I had to fire my assistant.
Yeah. And then he says, he's like, I have a question for everyone. How do you finally get over something and say, this is something that happened in the past and now we can get over it? Like me flirting with my assistant. Like, how do you do that? So Kenya's like, time and reassuring behavior. And Kenya's like, by the way, you know that assistant situation looks real crazy, right? It looked crazy.
Yeah, well, things can look crazy if you don't know the context behind it. If you don't know the context.
And Ralph and Drew's like, Ralph, let's not go there. He goes, but you did. But you went there. You went there. Okay. And she goes, but you didn't own your part. And he goes, I did own my part. Okay. I did own my part. So.
But Kenya, this is so Drew too. This is like where Drew gets gaslighty too. Because she brings it up to the entire table. And then she's like, let's not go there, Ralph. Come on, Ralph. Why are you getting mad when I just brought up the assistant again in front of everybody at dinner, on TV?
I think I misquoted that. I think I said that Ralph was the one who said, how do you get to the point where something is in the past? But that was Drew had said that, right?
No, Ralph said it. Because Drew.
Oh, Ralph did say it?
Yeah. Because Kenya's like, what's wrong, Drew? And she's like, I just can't believe we ever had to deal with another woman in that situation. And he's like, oh my God, at what point do we just get over it? I mean, for Christ's sake, you know? So Kenya's like, oh my God, Ralph, you remind me so much of Mark. It's crazy. She doesn't want to feel invalidated, and you just get defensive.
Yeah, and say that she's crazy for thinking something. And Ken, so you think like, wow, Kenya's really being on Drew's side. And she even, and Kenya even says to us that like, you know, now that she's had a, she and Drew have had a chance to do a do-over, she's seeing Drew for who she is, and what she is really hurt. So you're like, oh my God, this is so, this is crazy that Kenya has Drew's back. But it lasts for like all of about 30 seconds.
No, this is just Kenya's way to be like, this is what I had to do with Mark. It hurt, you know? It's like Kenya's way of like dragging it back to Kenya. So Ralph's like, well, it's not like I said, hey, I'm going to get an assistant with a big butt, you know? I mean, we were going through a time where we had growing pains trying to do business together. And Marlo's like, where'd you get her from, Magic City?
A lot of Magic City references from Marlo.
So funny.
So Candy's like, well, with that being said, that's even more so, that would make it worse to have a woman that's around, that's working closely with you. I don't understand how you don't see how she would feel a certain sort of way. And she was like, yeah, my thing is this, like, why are you making me out to be wrong or making me feel like it's a figment of my imagination? And Marlo just goes, I'm staying single, shit.
Yeah, fuck this. I'm staying single with a guy to hold an umbrella open when I need it. Like, that's all I need. And Kenya's saying at the other end of the table, he's an asshole. He's just an asshole. I've seen the way he speaks to her, and it reminds me of times when Mark would speak to me like that. And then we see a remake of the black and white film from Ralph's Gaslight film, and now it's Mark, the original Gaslight film.
Yeah, we get the Mark rendition of Gaslight Theater. So,
Mark is such a piece of crap too.
He's
my God,
so awful. God, he's so terrible. All these guys just floating around this show. Almost all of them are just horrific.
So Ralph's like, why are we even counting this again? You know, things occur to you one way, and they occur to me another way. It's fine. The your truth and my truth thing again. So Kenya's like, well, let me just say this, if my husband said this to me, I would flip this table over, and we are in Jersey, so I could do it. That's just disrespectful. You know what you're saying happened, you're saying didn't happen. I mean, you're just tearing her down.
Yeah. And Drew's like, I really hope Ralph can hear this, but Ralph is just laughing. He's like, he's doing that like defensive laughter, like, oh, whatever. And Kenya's like, Ralph, stop, what's the laugh for? And he's like, you know what, what's going on with you? How are you doing over there? He's like trying to change the subject. She goes, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. And Ralph is like, I'm not, it's not that I'm doing anything to you. Okay. And so, but now all of a sudden it pivots onto Drew. Everyone suddenly turns on Drew because Marlo goes, Drew, I'm going to stop pointing at Ralph because it's you too. And he's only doing what you allow. And then Sonia's like, yeah, you do teach them how to love you. So all of a sudden now everyone pivots and turns against Drew out of nowhere.
And Kenya's like, yeah, we've talked to Drew too, because she cannot let go of stuff. Drew cannot let stuff go. And some of the things she accuses you of, she does also. It's like you're both Mark. It's like I'm having to sit at dinner with two Marks right now. Do you know what it feels like for me?
She goes, you know, acknowledging when you're wrong. Should we take a poll around the table about who's the most wrong here? Like, which one's the worst version of Mark, Drew, or Ralph? Should we do a poll?
And Drew's like, what are you talking about? She goes, like the stuff with you and Sheree, you just want to admit you're wrong. And she's like, well, I'm the type of person that if you don't start none, won't be none. I'm like, oh, okay, now you're just using Candy's lines.
Yeah.
Candy's tagline, okay? Come on.
And she's like, when you bring it to me, I'm going to finish it. And Sheree's like, well, you didn't finish it. And Drew's like, I don't think anyone at this table would accept anyone speaking about their husband, okay? And Candy's like, but you do realize it was your assistant who was the one who originated the statement, okay? Because now they've pivoted to talking about Anthony. And Drew's like, well, I don't have any evidence of it. So then Sheree just like whips out her phone.
Yeah, she goes, okay, so this is Anthony. He sends me this picture and he says, Dennis and Drew's baby daddy. And I have more scoop on him too. So your assistant told me that Ralph was gay. And Ralph goes, what? And she goes, gay. And he goes, who? And she goes, your assistant said that, Anthony. And Ralph is so pissed. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. So Drew didn't tell Ralph that Anthony was telling everyone he was gay?
Of course not. And she's going to probably say, well, we were not talking. We're in a fight. Like, and she keeps the assistant around. And so now Ralph is going to turn this on her and be like, you got me. You like, I fired my assistant because you felt like she was being inappropriate. And now this guy said that I'm gay and you keep her around. So like, you know, that's what the next iteration of the fight's going to be.
Oh my God. Well, we'll see. It's just another day of happy marriage over here. And then it ends with Todd just taking a sip from his beer. Then the real sound probably sounded like this. But the way the editors put it in was
It was so funny. It was so good. And I don't know why Drew thinks that she's ever going to win when she goes up against Sheree. You know, Sheree is ready. Like, Sheree locked horns with NeNe Leakes, okay? Drew Sidora is not an issue for her.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun episode of Atlanta. We will be back tomorrow with some Below Deck Sailing Yacht, some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills later this week, and a trailer breakdown of Southern Charm's new season. You can also catch that on Crappens On Demand for the video version of that. And that's it. We will see you guys later. Thanks so much for being here. Love you. Bye, guys. Everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.